purpose is not determined by the proposed. Meaning, you don't ask a chair the purpose of a chair. You ask the manufacturer of the chair, why did you make the chair? So when you say, I want to find my purpose, you are asking the right question to the wrong person. You are not the one to find your purpose. You were created by someone.
Yes, sir.
So you should ask the manufacturer, why did you create me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And if you put all this, what purpose is not together, you will have, purpose is that one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else you succeed at will count. Let me say it two more times. Purpose is that one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else you succeed at will count. I will say it one more time. Purpose is that one thing for which you were created and at which you must succeed. You know what? Let's do it together. Say after me, purpose is that one thing. Say it again. Purpose is that one thing for which I was created and at which I must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else I succeed at will count. So, it doesn't matter if you got married, had children, bought a big car, bought a big house, had lands, and all of that. If you miss purpose, it doesn't matter any other thing you did. It won't count. And by the time you shred everything down, what you get is your purpose is to know God and to make Him known. You were sent to know God. And we began to break it down. You know, Philippians 1 verse 21, Paul speaking, he says, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. You know, people have been wondering, what does it mean to, and to die is gain? When you found reason for living, you have also found what's dying for. I'll explain that later, maybe in another sermon. We said our purpose, the purpose of man is to know God. Ephesians 1 from verse 4 to 5. To know God and to make Him known. Guardian lights, please close the door. Close the back door. Everybody, can you read with me? Ephesians 1 from verse 4 to 5. 1 to 3, go. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, the way the Bible is, especially King James, you can just read it. And it's just passing through your head. You don't really get anything that they are saying. According to the good pleasure where thou art and thou art for. Are you with me? So, he says, verse 4, according as God has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, meaning before God even created the first man, He had chosen men in Him. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us. Is that word predestinated? It means before you even set out to have a destiny. Are you with me? Please focus, focus. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. So He's saying that God wanted children that look like Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He wanted a family. God wanted a family. God wanted children that look like Jesus. That was why He made the first man. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So when you talk about purpose, it is about the purpose of the maker, not the creature first.
Yes, sir.
So, the purpose of a chair is not determined by the chair. The maker of the chair said, I want to make a chair that will do this. It's like you. You can wake up one morning and say, I decide now I want to make shawarma. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So the purpose of that shawarma is not determined by the... You are the one that decided to the good pleasure of your will. So God looked at himself and said, you know what? I'm going to make men that will look like my son Jesus Christ, because that's what I want to do to the pleasure of my will. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And we explained on Wednesday that Jesus Christ is the image of God. So God wanted children that look like him. That was why he made the first man. He wanted man to be in his family. Praise the Lord. And so, say after me, my purpose is to know God and to make him known. For those who are still confused, listen to that midweek service. Secondly, think about this. What will God ask you the day you die? When you are done with your life and you appear before him, what do you think he will talk to you about? Do you think he will talk to you about your job first? Or your career? The first thing he will ask you is, do you even have a relationship with me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That's purpose, to know God and to make him known. And I said on Wednesday that many people confuse purpose with assignment. What many people call purpose is actually their assignment. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And so today I want to unpack the concept of an assignment. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Remember, I told you that what we are doing here is an intentional build up. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, we have already said our purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. But how will it be done? That gives rise to the concept of assignment. And so we've called today's teaching the call of duty. Say after me, the call of duty. So, like the example I gave, I said all chairs have the same purpose. Listen, follow me now. Don't miss me here. All chairs have the same purpose, right?
Yes, sir.
To carry people's weight, for people to sit down. But you don't use all kinds of chairs in all places. There are some chairs that are used only in a sitting room. Some chairs are used only in a lecture theater. Some chairs are used in a church. Are you with me? Not all chairs can be used everywhere. So, even though they all have the same purpose, based on their design and function, are you with me? There is differentiation. So, even though we all have the same purpose to know God and to make him known, we are not all going to make him known the same way. Of course, knowing God, there is one way. Are you with me? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, we are going to know God the same way, through Jesus Christ. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But you see, we're not all going to manifest God and make him known the same way. And that gives rise to our individual assignments. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say after me, call of duty.
Call of duty.
So purpose is not unique, but your assignment is unique and specific within a specific time. And so, I'm going to give us some definitions. What do we mean by assignments? Number one, am I too fast? If you have followed me to this point, raise your hand. Okay. Number one, your assignment refers to your specific role in the fulfillment of purpose. Are you with me? Are you with me? Let me tell you something. If you come to this church and you don't plan to learn, you came to the wrong place. If you come to this church and you don't plan that your life will be better and that your walk with God will become better and greater, you came to the wrong place. Because as long as you are here, it is too late for you to be normal. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
It is too late for you to be ordinary. It is too late for you to be normal. The things I'm sharing with you, does it look like something that an ordinary person would think out? I'm going to do a teaching in this series, which I called Mold Break. How to break out of limiting mindsets. Because many times when I preach and I see the way some of you respond, it's almost like, Some people, the vibe they are giving is,
Pastor, preach. Make a do go ask shop price. Pastor, preach. All this preaching. All this preaching will help my life now.
If I just have 2 billion now, I'm settled. Just give me 2 billion. Let me tell you, your life will reflect what your mind looks like. Your life will reflect what your mind looks like. If you have a basin that can contain only 50 liters of water, if you like, pour 1,000 liters. Everything will pour out and reduce to 50 liters. So the first thing to do, if you want 1,000 liters, increase the capacity of the basin. Are you with me? Increase the capacity of the basin. We can relate to this example because it is something you know you can handle. But when it comes to human beings and the way we view life, it's difficult to relate with it, but it's the same principle. The same principle. And so, when you come to church, my first job is to expand the basin. Are you with me? It's to expand you. Praise God. So, what is assignment? Your assignment refers to your specific role in the fulfillment of purpose. Number one. So, did we get that? Going forward, when you come to church, come with a writing material. Your assignment refers to your specific role in the fulfillment of purpose. Number two, an assignment is an organized arrangement of dutiful work given to an individual within a particular time in the actualization of purpose. I will say that again. An assignment is an organized arrangement of dutiful work given to an individual within a particular time in the actualization of purpose. The reason why I'm saying within a particular time, your assignment can change. God can change your assignment per time. Are you with me? Number three, an assignment can also be defined. Did we get the first two definitions? But you got the first one, right? So the second one is, an assignment is an organized arrangement of dutiful work given to an individual within a particular time in the actualization of purpose. Amen. Amen. An assignment can also be defined as the roles we have to play to be a positive contribution to the world and to be effective in the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second definition, for those who missed it, an assignment is an organized arrangement of dutiful work given to an individual within a particular time in the actualization of purpose. Do we get it now? Should I read one more time? No, okay, we got it. So, you got that right? So, on a general note, we have a spiritual assignment. So, remember where we are coming from. To know God and to make Him known, right? Don't be bored. Amen. Don't be bored. Follow me. So, on a general note, we have a first spiritual assignment, which is to worship God and to spread His message. See, after me, I have a spiritual assignment, which is to worship God and to spread His message. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. So we have a task of preaching the gospel and doing everything to see that the gospel of Jesus Christ prevails. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 14. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Are you with me? It says, the love of Christ motivates us. It constrains us to do things, because we have come to understand that if one man had to die for all men, that means all men were dead. Are you with me? Because we have come to understand, we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15. Everybody, verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Read it again. And that he died for all, that they which live. Who are the they which live? Those of us who believe in Jesus. That they which live, we don't live unto ourselves. Because Christ died for you and rose again. You that has believed in him, you don't live unto yourself. Are you with me? You have a primary assignment to live for Christ. Are you with me? And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Then in verse 16, it says, then we know man after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth knowing him no more. Verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Please read this. 1, 2, 3, go. What does this mean? It means everybody that has been reconciled to God, they have received the ministry to reconcile others to God. Should I say that again? Everyone who has been reconciled to God has received a ministry to reconcile others to God. So, it doesn't matter whether you're a banker, you're a lawyer, you're a businessman, you are a fashion designer, you are a caterer, you are whatever. Because you have been reconciled to God, you have a primary assignment to reconcile others to God. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, you have that spiritual assignment first. But after this level of your spiritual assignments, there are still other assignments. Are you getting me? Because someone can just deduce from what we just read right now that every one of us should preach the gospel. And is that important? Yes. But if everybody preaches the gospel and we do nothing else, we will not be effective in preaching the gospel. If we all... If we are all pastors and there are no doctors, there are no bankers, there are no fashion designers, there are no... Are you with me? There will be a problem. And so, in as much as we have this divine purpose to spread the message of Christ, to know God and to make him known, God must spread us into many places with individual and specific assignments. Are you getting me? Are you getting me?
Yes,
so I wrote something here. God's ultimate purpose for our life is spiritual. It is simply to know Christ and make him known. This does not excuse us from the basic responsibilities of life. These two are divine expectations. Are you with me? Adam's purpose of knowing God and becoming part of God's family gave rise to the assignment of taking care of the garden. So, you cannot say God created Adam simply because he wanted a gardener. Are you with me? God created Adam because he wanted a family in his image. But you see, Adam being in the Garden of Eden had given rise to him taking up the assignment of being a gardener. Are you with me? Do you get that? So, our purpose is divine, but there are earthly things that must be done if our divine purpose will be fully actualized. So, Adam is to know God and to fellowship with God, right?
Yes,
but he must eat. Are you with me? He must wear clothes. They must be doctors. They must be people in different facets of life fulfilling the mind of God there. And that's why, if you study the Bible closely, check the Old Testament, you will discover that many people that God dealt with were not all pastors. Moses, you can say that's the typology of a man of God. But then you have David, that's the politician and the other statesman. You have Joshua. That's a soldier. Are you with me? What you see in those people, you have Daniel. That's also like a minister. Are you with me? When I mean minister, like in the country, like commissioner of works or commissioner of this. What you are seeing is a portrait of people that knew God and served God in their craft. Are you with me? Please. If you are following me, say we are following Pastor. And served God in their craft. And then the list goes on. Abraham. Abraham was a business tycoon. Isaac, the same. Jacob, the same. And the list just goes on. Noah, the same. All those people. What God is showing you is that I want people who have an intimate walk with me, and it reflects on their assignment. And even in the portrait of Adam, we see the same picture there. Let me show you something. Because some of you may be asking, okay, Pastor, I'm still not clear. Are you saying our career is our assignment? Are you saying that my job is my assignment? What is the difference between my job and my assignment? Please, are you with me? What is the difference between my career and my assignment? A career is just what you do for a living, to make money and make ends meet. But an assignment is when you have a divine conviction from God that this is what you ought to be doing with your life. Are you with me? That's the difference. So now, God can tell you that your career, that job you do, your 9 to 5, will be the platform for your assignment. And so for some people like that, their career and their assignment overlap. Some people, they may have a job in an office, but God will tell them, you see that motherless baby's home, taking care of those young girls, that is your assignment for life. Are you getting me? And so that job they are doing will just be like a fuel, are you with me? A support to the real assignment he gave them. Are you following me? Okay. Let me say that again. A career is just what you do to make money, make ends meet. But an assignment is what you do because God has given you a divine conviction that this is what you ought to be doing with your life. This is the platform you are going to take in spreading his message. This is the platform you are going to take as a dutiful tax to carry out with your life. Are you with me? To make impact to your world and spread his message. Amen. For you to understand this more, the Bible says in Genesis 2 verse 10 that a river went out of Eden and watered the garden. Please, can we put Genesis 2 verse 10? Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. From thence was parted and became four heads. My emphasis here is, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Now, the garden was the assignment that God gave to Adam, right? Tend the garden. Take care of the garden. But Eden represented the place of intimacy with God. Are you with me? The Hebrew word for Eden means delight, paradise, a place of pleasure or a place of delight. So Eden represented the real purpose of man, where Adam would delight in God and God would delight in Adam. And out of that intimacy between God and Adam, there will be a river that will fuel the assignment. Are you with me? Which is the garden. So, God's portrait for our life is that you will have an intimate walk with him, which will overflow into an assignment that you will be doing. So, there is a difference between someone who just has a job in that office and someone who believes God sent me here. Are you with me? There is a difference between someone who is just working in the government house and someone else who believes God has sent me into politics. Are you getting me? For one person, he's just trying to make ends meet. For the other person, he's on an assignment. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
For some people, They are just trying to learn tech so that they can just make some dollars. For others, God has brought me to learn and master this thing so that I will be a major financial pillar to the gospel. I will impact the lives of my world. Are you with me? I will change the lives of people. I will do great things. So with this skill. So for one, he's just having a career path. But for another person, he's on assignment. Say after me, I am on an assignment. I am on assignment. Do you get that? So before I go on, have you understood me to this point? Let me tell you something here. You see this concept? It took a while for me to just break them down so that people understand them. Because if you don't, you can just be going about your life and there is no actual bearing. So an assignment could be a career path. It could be a ministry. It could be even a business or even some form of service. For instance, the great general of faith that passed away, Reverend Umar Okpai, he had an assistant, Pastor Linus, who said God gave him an assignment. His own assignment was, God told me, my assignment in life is to serve Umar Okpai. Interesting. And he served Umar Okpai for more than 30 years. Now, the great man of God, Reverend Dr. Umar Okpai, has gone to be with the Lord. He's now the one anchoring the crusades. Are you with me? God can give men assignments like that. And so, for you to really have an assignment from God, you need to have a relationship with God. You can't just circumvent it. Are you with me? And let me tell you something. The flip side of it is, if you don't have a relationship with God, and if you don't get an assignment from God, you will get an assignment from the devil, whether you know it or not. So, on the earth today, you are either on an assignment for God, or you are on an assignment for the devil. You just don't know. I want to say something. YouTube may bring down this video, but I will say it. There's a popular billionaire who is obsessed about reducing the number of people in the world. Who knows about that? Like, he's literally obsessed. He spent his earlier years in the tech world making money and amassing wealth. Now, he's going all out to kill as many people as possible in the name of medicine. Do you know what that means? Whether he knows it or not, he is serving something. He's on an assignment. Did you hear what I just said? Some people, they will be going to church if they don't understand what I'm saying. They will be serving the devil without knowing. Have you ever read Matthew 13, where Jesus talked about the parables of the kingdom? He said, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. And after the parable, they came and asked Jesus, what do you really mean? He said, the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. That means in every sphere of influence, there are people that God planted and there are people that Satan planted. If you notice, in the parable, he did not say the tares grew. Because in normal agricultural practice, if you think it very well, tares just grow up. Nobody goes to plant tares. But in Jesus' own parable, he said, while men slept, an enemy came and sowed them. So in the business world, there are tares. In politics, there are tares. In fashion, are you with me? If you are not understanding my old King James tears, there are thorns, chuku things. There are things that Satan planted. There are people that Satan helped and empowered and sent them on assignment. Say, go there. You know, I and my wife were watching a movie. So before that movie, I had stumbled on a document that talked about a certain group. It's an occult group. And their mission, listen to this, their mission is to raise more divorced families in the world. Listen to me. So when I... okay, let me put it the way the story happened. So I watched the movie with my wife. And in the movie, they were talking about a group that wanted to spread the idea of divorce all around the world. So I felt like, this movie, they are just trying to, they are overhyping this thing. How will a group just exist to cause divorce? Until I stumbled on the document that there are people in the world that are actually paid, given an assignment to go and spread the idea of divorce. I also discovered that, if you notice, in the last 15 years, the rise of atheism, people just wake up. There are influencers in Nigeria that were paid and told, go and talk about the fact that there is no God. It's like I'm saying too much this morning. Years ago, I stumbled on a document and the lady said that in 100 years, if the media can be more profane, sexual immorality will be a normal thing. She said it. Maybe when I'm ready, I will bring the document. It was produced in 1900. Said in 100 years. So there are people that the devil sent on assignment. And you must also be on an assignment for the Lord. Are you with me? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Okay. So quickly, how do you know your assignment? Number one, you will know or you discover your assignment by the leading of the Spirit of God or by the guidance of God. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 9. Or let me read from verse 8. 1 John chapter 1. Father, in the name of Jesus, there is understanding in Jesus' name. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. So talking about Jesus. Jesus is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Please, are you with me? It's the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It means that you cannot really know yourself until you know Jesus. That phrase there, the true light, it reminded me of O-level physics. If you ever did O-level physics under light and its properties, there is something called white light. And they will tell you that the true color of a thing is the color that comes out under white light. Are you with me? So, okay, I will not explain all those O-level physics. Remember O-level physics. If you did not cheat in WAEC, line spectrum, absorption spectrum, is it clicking a bell? Sorry. They will tell you that the color of a thing is the color that it shows under white light or under the true light. So, if you bring that same idea to 1 John chapter 1 from verse 9, he's saying that you may think you are whatever, but by the time you come under the true light, which is Jesus Christ, you begin to know yourself. So, for instance, Peter is busy with his fisherman business. And then he comes and meets Jesus. And then Jesus says, don't worry. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. So that means your fishing business was just a pointer to the real fishing job you ought to be doing. Are you with me? So you cannot really know yourself until you have encountered the true light. Praise the Lord. So that's the first way. You have a walk with God. The Lord guides you into something. And then that becomes an assignment for you. If you study the example of Moses, look at Exodus chapter 3 from verse 1 to 4. Exodus chapter 3 from verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Everybody, verse 3, 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. It was when God saw that he turned aside to see that God spoke. Do you know how serious, how heavy this is? That means there are some of you, God is somewhere looking at you. He's giving you signs, waiting for what he will do. Are you following me? He wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you what he will do with your life. He wants to tell you the next step to take, but he's watching you and seeing if you will turn aside to face him. So maybe you will have a dream. Maybe in the night you just had a dream and you woke up around 3 a.m. That's like a burning bush experience. It's trying to get your attention. But some people, after all the encounters, after all the things, they were going through a hard time and God supernaturally just intervened. That was like a burning bush encounter. God tried to tell you, come! I want to tell you more. But you're like, God, see, leave me. I want to enjoy my life. I'm a baddie. Some people say I'm a Christian baddie. Christian and baddie cannot be joined together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faith, goodness, not badness. Don't mind me. But you get what I'm trying to say, right? There are many of you, God is literally knocking at the door of your heart, waiting for you, giving you all the experiences, all the encounters. I would not see people that say, me, I don't carry church on my head. But when I pray, if I cry to my creator, you answer me. I would not see people like that. I say, see, when I pray to God, you didn't hear my prayer. That thing is that is happening to you is a burning bush experience. He's trying to get your attention. He says, when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, he said, I will now look at this great sight. Then God called him. That means Moses would have seen the burning bush and walked away and gone home like every other day, not knowing that an assignment to be a deliverer was waiting for him. Are you with me? Have said after me, I will respond to the Lord. Amen. You know, I had a friend. If I mention his name, some of you may know him. He makes shoes. He exports shoes in this Nigeria. Close friend of mine. We went to the same university. He read computer science. We're close in school. Read computer science. He got a job in MTN after his youth service. Then we had 21 days of prayer and fasting. And during the prayer and fasting, as they are praying like this, praying, he will see himself making shoes. Then he will close his eyes and say, God, open his eyes and say, God forbid. I will not be a shoemaker in Jesus' name. I will not be a shoemaker. But it kept on happening. He will pray in tongues, and he will see. You know, I'm saying this. Many of you think when God is calling you is to come and just, the only thing God can call you is to start church. Thank God, your pastor. I read mechanical engineering. I practiced well. Mm-hmm. So he kept telling me, God, then he told me, David, I don't know what to do. I've already gotten a job in MTN. What do I do? I said, his name is Donatus. I said, Donatus, if God is leading you this direction, it may be tough, but follow it. Some years ago, I think 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he called me to pray for his factory. He was showing me the quarters where his staff stays. And I prayed for him and all of that. Last week, he showed me the picture of his new property, his house. I asked him, I said, Don, is this office space or house? He says, my house. So I say, ha. He said, Pastor, thank you. So imagine, no, he would have stayed with his job there. Are you following what I'm saying? God gave him this assignment. You will be a shoemaker. That time his father used to yab him. Every time in the house, you'll be. Father said, I sent you to school 4 years. See what you are. Just look at your life. One day he told me, David, I will run out from the house because of this man. This man will make you run away from this house. Praise the Lord. As you respond to the Lord, you discover your assignment. Number two. Okay, I missed one example. Let me just say it here. Genesis 26, verse 1 to 2, you can check it out. God led Isaac into famine. Number two, the strategy of passion and zeal. Are you with me? The strategy of passion and zeal. You see, when you are not born again, you cannot entirely trust the things that you are passionate about. You cannot entirely trust it. So I'm not just talking about any reckless passion or reckless zeal. But you see, when you get born again, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 13, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Meaning, when you get born again, God can actually work on your will. God can work on your passions. God, are you with me? God can work on your desires. And so, you need to know how to pay attention to when a new zeal or a passion is beginning to rise within your heart. God may just be trying to get your attention. I want to use you in this area. There are some of you are always angry about what the government is doing wrong. Maybe God may be calling you to politics. Everybody's quiet. Everybody just face blur. Say no. Everybody say, not me, not me. Why not you? Who said you cannot be governor of your state? Who said you cannot be local government chairman? God has told me I will pastor politicians, whether they like it or not. People say, oh, politics is bad. The reason why it is bad is because the children of the wicked one, they are plenty there. You will not see just two people that say, I'm a Christian. Me, I go to redeem. And you are not even sure if he's really redeemed, though. They are just saying it so that how many genuine Christians are actually there? If Christians will take over politics, it's not one or two. It's not, hey, that guy is a Christian. It's, no, there should be like 1,000 at once in one party. By the time there is, we go in mass. Are you with me? But then maybe it's only one believer. Then they now want to do one funny sacrifice. Say, close your eye, close your eye. Come out here, come out here. We are doing something. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let me go on. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. So God can work on your zeal. God can work on your will. God can move you. Suddenly you begin to not a new passion. If you look at the life of David, we don't see anywhere where God specifically told David to kill Goliath. Do you know that? Do you know that? Read 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 17. There was no place where God spoke from heaven. David, now you shall kill Goliath. Your time has come. Is that what happened? What happened was that David has been anointed king of Israel. As it were, being born again, you have received the Holy Ghost. Like an anointing. Are you with me? They sent him, go and deliver food to your brothers. He got there. He was hearing the threat of Goliath and said, please, who is this guy? Who is this guy threatening everybody? What will be done to the person that kills him? You know, there are many of you. We'll talk about that one later. You can feel something being stirred within you, but you are too shy. What would they say? They will say, I to do. That may be the door to your destiny. Are you with me? He had that thing. He may have just walked away and said, ah, bad energy, stay far away. And say, please, I beg. Goliath, me, I'm not a soldier. I will not come and do pass myself. I'm not a soldier. They sent me here to give food. I've given the food. I'm going home. And while he's going, he will be feeling it within him. Do something. You should have done something. You should have done something. So, as a Christian, when you begin to notice that stir within you, you should have done something. Don't ignore it. Are you with me? Don't just say, it's not my business. Don't ignore it. Look at it. And a simple way to know that is not your mind and it's from God, go and pray. Somebody say, oh, pastor, what if it's my mind? What if I'm just my mind being ambitious? If you pray and it begins to die down, then you know it's not from God. If you pray and it begins to become stronger, know it's God. Because the power and the presence of God will fuel the purpose of God. Are you with me? You pray, and then the more you pray, you see the Lord pressing it on your heart. Take it serious. Some of you, you will see a business, a line of business. Your eyes just open. Ah, there is nobody doing this business around this area. Start this business. You are praying about it. You are trying to ignore it. It's coming again. You are trying to ignore it. It's coming again. You go to work and come back. It's coming again. Maybe God is trying to get your attention. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God. And finally, how do you discover your assignment? Faithfulness to the present. You see, there are many people seeking big platforms, popular platforms, but the platform that God has put them on at the moment, they are not taking advantage of it. And God will judge you by how faithful you were to the very thing He gave you first. There are many ways to discover your assignment. We can't finish all of them in this service, but I will stop here. How can you be expecting something very, very grandiose, but the simple one He gave you first, how did you handle it? The Bible says, it is required in stewards to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards to be found faithful. You don't know that simple tax they gave you in the office, that simple tax they gave you in your family, oh, it can just be the doorway. Let me show you something. We're talking about David just now, right? Let me show you something. 1 Samuel 16 verse 18 to 19. This was when they were recommending David to go and play the harp for King Saul. And the Bible says, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Look at the two verses. What's the comparison? How can someone that is that gifted be with sheep? Please, are you following me? He's a mighty warrior. Let's put verse 18. Verse 18. I have seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. He's calling and playing. So he was a very good instrumentalist. He's a mighty valiant man. He's a man of war. He's a very wise person. He's prudent in matters. But they gave him sheep to handle. It seems like no matter how gifted you are, if you are not faithful to sheep, they will not look for you. There are some people that will say, me, with all my grace, is sheep you are giving me. With all my steeds and anointing, it is sheep you are giving me to handle. Please, give me something better. No, it was in sheep. Maybe God saw the way He was taking care of sheep and said, okay, if He can take care of sheep like this, how will He handle my people? And God knew that He will eventually become king, but routed him from sheep, and then He was now playing for King Saul. He was faithful to play for King Saul. Imagine it were you. They anointed him as king of Israel, and you are going to play for King Saul. The very person he was going to replace, he had to serve him. Some of you begin to insult him. Say, you just take time, or now maybe the next king will. See, there's a way Saul will shout at you, hey, come on, take that harp and play for me. Say, please don't talk to me like that. Are you not, or you are not aware? It's like you are not aware. I have been anointed king. See, your time is counting. You know? See, your time. See, I just look you. But he was faithful. playing for King Saul as though he has not been anointed. How faithful are you to the present? You see, even in church, I'm a pastor, I've seen a lot of things. You give somebody a task to do, say, no. How can I be sweeping church? I have a call of God on my life. I say, okay. Be faithful to this one in front of you. Are you with me? How can I? In your office, they can give you something to do. Say, me? No. Start from that place, yes. Be faithful with it. Praise the Lord. Because many times, somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. You know, the dear man of God said something. He said, if you think every time that everybody's watching you, you are full of yourself. If you think nobody's watching you, you are fooling yourself. There will be somebody God will just position and say, how will this guy respond? You know, my mom was sharing a story with me, and I will end here. How that she was talking about this certain rich man. You know those people that you just see and they look so wealthy, he has cars and everything. And my mom just said, do you know how that guy became wealthy? I was like, okay, what happened? He said, actually, he was working for a white man in this city, then Port Harcourt. And then he was the security guard. They send him on errands, go and buy this, go and do that. And this white man had a fish business. Not the fish pond business people. You know those people that they get fish from the sea. They have these massive equipment that they use to harvest fishes in their thousands from the sea like that and get them frozen and all of that. Big business in Nigeria. And are you with me? And then this man had built the business for about 20 years thereabout in Port Harcourt and said, you know what? My family is in the U.S. I want to relocate back to the U.S. He said, who will I trust this business to? And then he wrapped his mind and thought. The only person he could count on was, this is my gate man. This man has been serving me well. You know what? Come. He said, see, this business is not hard. Just be in charge of the equipment, service the equipment in due time, get the fishes, make sure that the freezers are working well, cool them, go to my customers and sell. You will sell so-and-so. Make sure you remit so-and-so amount for me every month. The remaining is yours. I think he was to do 80% sales and keep 20%. 20% turned into an overnight millionaire. 20%. Keep what is yours. Bought house. Bought land. And bought land. And bought land. And bought land. Bought land. Bought land. Bought land. Just being faithful. Are you with me? From there, that guy began to become a blessing to the world. Sponsored the gospel. Sent children to school. You know, see, when you are in your assignment and you know that God has brought you to where what you ought to be doing, you will be such a blessing that many people will be drinking from you. Are you with me? Yes, I'm not just talking about a life that me, my wife, my children will eat and we are fine. No, I'm talking about a life that you are transcendent. Are you with me? You bless lives. You are changing people's lives because of your life. Say after me in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, help me find my assignment. As I respond to you with intimacy, as I respond to you in spiritual growth, as I pay attention to your zeal in me, and as I am faithful to what is in front of me, I discover my assignment. Can you begin to pray right now? Just pray. Pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. Randa kapande kepelia shata kapase. We walk in the fullness of our assignments.